Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Biblical peace is often misunderstood. This passage is often misapplied and very limited in its use. So many have their first thought of a peacemaker in the making of international peace, peace between nations, or just the absence of war, getting along with others. Some think of it as the lessening of tensions and strife between two opponents. The Nobel Peace Prize is awarded to those who sometimes think on this basis. However, those who negotiate peace between conflicting parties are not necessarily the children of God. Now, it may be that these concepts abide in the term peace, but this is not the full of it, nor even the major emphasis of the peace which is of primary concern in the Bible. Friend, there are different kinds of peace. Peace may exist between nations and neighbors, among members of the family, among co-workers, and in the community. We may get along harmoniously with people around us. There is peace within ourselves, and most people long for this contentment, being at ease with one's own conscience and enjoying personal satisfaction. But there is also peace with God. We alienate ourselves from God by our sins, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Peace is restored by and through Jesus Christ. Now, this is the peace of the Bible. This is the most important peace, because it has to do with man's relationship with God. It determines his present as well as his future destiny. We can have peace with others and not be at peace with God. We can have peace within ourselves and still not be at peace with God. Peace with God may contribute toward the possession of peace with others and with self, but not necessarily so. The beatitude of our text is in the opening portion of the Sermon on the Mount. That sermon may be thought of as the preamble of the new covenant of Jesus Christ. Matthew 4 and verse 23 says that Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 7:28 calls it the doctrine of Christ. The Beatitudes are not simply a code of ethics or a formula as to how to get along with other people and be happy. Rather, they present characteristics of those who would become citizens in the kingdom of God that was soon to come into existence and did come into existence on the day of Pentecost. They have been correctly termed as Pentecost pointers. And as we study them, we shall see that they involve both attitude and action. The benefit and blessing for being a peacemaker is explicitly stated. Being a peacemaker is obviously a desirable role. A peacemaker is one who serves to reconcile what was estranged. It resolves conflicts. Our role as peacemaker is limited somewhat, however. Jesus Christ was called in prophecy the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 7 and verse 9 and verse 6. And the angels sang at his birth, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This peace was peace between sinful man and Almighty God, a spiritual peace, Romans 5 and verse 1. The gospel is called the gospel of peace, Romans 10 and verse 15. And it is a part of the Christian armor, Ephesians 6 and verse 15. Ephesians 2, 11 through 17 tells us what Jesus did and how he did it to bring about peace. Those who were alienated from God were made nigh to God by being reconciled to God by the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross of Christ. Matthew chapter 10, 34 through 39 teaches, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." And then he defined some of the areas of conflict that would result because of him. Now tell me, how could Jesus be both Prince of Peace and yet bring conflict? Friend, there's always been a conflict between good versus evil, God versus Satan, the children of God versus the children of the devil. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 18, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." In 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." The fact is, the world has, the world does, the world always will hate the followers of Jesus Christ. Now, that is not peace. That is war. Even from one's own family can arise those who will be his enemies. When a person determines to follow Christ, it is not surprising that there is disruption from the former unity with those who reject the Lord. Unfortunately, some people have accepted the doctrine that the ultimate goal of serving God is to have unity and peace with others. Now, while this is a desirable condition, that is not the foremost goal of Christianity. While no right-thinking person prefers strife to harmony, we need to remember that we can have peace and unity with others and still be lost in hell. We shall seek peace and ensue it, 1 Peter 3 and verse 11. But unity and peace must be founded on truth and agreement. Amos wrote in Amos 3 and verse 3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." In Philippians 1 and verse 27, "Only let your manner of life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, "There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Now, friend, when this unity and oneness of which we have just read in these various passages, when that is observed, there will be peace with God, and there will be peace with all those who follow God. Yes, conflict followed Christ and the apostles. Conflict with opponents was characteristic of the early church, and we should not be disheartened when conflict follows us. Peacemakers are called children of God. We are God's people who seek to bring Christ's reconciliation between God and man by teaching them and encouraging them to obey the gospel, receive the remission of their sins, thereby establishing fellowship and peace with God. It is this peace of which we are peacemakers. As far as getting along with others is concerned, while that is not a primary mission, as Romans 12 and verse 18 teaches, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." And from this we know that it is commendable to work for peace and in every level. But peace with God is the peace of which Jesus speaks when he pronounces blessings upon the peacemakers. In Genesis 13, 7 through 12, it relates a problem that arose in the life of Abraham and Lot because of their prosperity. Their flocks and herds grew so large that they could no longer live in the same area. Their keepers were involved in strife between them, and Abraham knew that this could extend to strife between him and Lot. This he neither wanted nor would he allow it, because, he said, "For we be brethren." Therefore he offered a proposition to Lot, permitting him to choose whatever land he desired, and Abraham would take what was left. Seldom is there seen this magnanimous and generous selfishness among men today. But he went the extra mile, and he still retained God's promises. Now Lot's choice took him toward Sodom. His selfish and short-sighted concept of gain for the present did not include consideration of the effect on himself or his family, and eventually brought tragedy when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. But he took advantage of his uncle for temporary gain, and he reaped the sorrow and the loss because of it. In Romans 14 and verse 19, Paul said, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith we may edify one another." Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3 and verse 11, "Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." Isaiah 48:22, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." And Jeremiah had written in Jeremiah 6 and verse 14, "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Now, we've already mentioned the different kinds of peace that we can have. There is a way to peace of each kind. We have to first decide which peace is most important to us, which is a primary concern, having significance in this life as well as in the life that is to come. And how do we have real peace? Some seek peace through power and the suppression of others and the control of things in their hands. Some seek peace through escape, compromise, surrender. Some even through suicide. Some have resorted to psychiatry to find that for which they long. Some have things backwards in their thinking. Isaiah 5 and verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Friend, they have it just as wrong as a person who seeks peace by denying wrong is wrong and forgetting that right is right. Others turn to many sins such as immorality, drunkenness, drugs, greed. They want the sin. They don't want the consequences of the sin. And ultimately they learn that the way of the transgressor is hard. Proverbs 13 and verse 15. Peace ought to be found in the home. Proverbs 11 verse 29. "He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind." Friend, our homes should be havens, not hells. There should exist love, not strife nor bitterness. And the young learn peace, or its opposite, first in the home. By example, by words, by demonstration, by their entertainment, by the standards and the values and the priorities as exhibited in the home, the way of peace can be acquired, or it can be distorted. The home will be a source of peace when Christ rules supreme in the home. When God abides in the hearts of the family members, there will be peace. It is accomplished by all being faithful Christians. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 13, "And be at peace among yourselves." Friend, peace in the church is peace that is based on truth, not negotiation, not through compromise, not through surrender of what is right. Standing for the will of God does not always produce peace, however, and it may well bring strife with some. It could, and often does, even bring division and separation. But if we ever have the peace that passeth understanding, Philippians 4 and verse 7, spiritual peace with God, we must obey and we must live according to the gospel. And once being at peace with God, we have the lifetime mission of being peacemakers, which means we will work to save the lost by sending forth the gospel of peace. We have been saved to save. We are at peace to bring that peace to others for which our Lord died. And what a wonderful way to live life, glorying in the knowledge that in the sight of God we are His children, as we pursue peace for ourselves and for others. It begins with our obedience to the gospel, through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ. It continues by walking faithfully in the light as He is in the light. And a part of that walking in the light is to send forth this message whereby men can have peace with God. And when we do that, this great beatitude that Jesus spoke is very personally applicable. When He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.